This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Help, I need somebody.
Help,
not just anybody.
Help,
you know I need someone.
Help.
When I was young, was so much younger than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now
these days are gone,
days
I'm
gone.
Not so self-assured. Change my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
Oh yeah, a little bit of help is what we need right now. The way things are going in this country and the things in Afghanistan, my gosh. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, a beacon of light in this fog these days. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Tuesday, October the 24th. In a few minutes, Weifeng Zong is going to join us. He's from the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, and we are going to talk about what China is going to get out of this whole fiasco in Afghanistan, the good and the bad. So stay tuned for that. And while that chaos continues over there, the director of the CIA has met in Kabul with one of the Taliban leaders. All this while expatriated Americans are scrambling to get out of town, as it were, in Afghanistan. We're going to talk about this, along with some other things, from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci. So you can stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And a Virginia school district rejects the state's new transgender bathroom policy. They said, forget it. We're not changing things. We're going to take a look at why. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 fastest animals on Earth, or in the air, as it were. Top 10 fastest. Stay tuned for that. By the way, we are sponsored in part, Freedom Works, by Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are open for business today, by the way. They cleared things out for a while with the COVID situation, but all is well, all is clean, all is ready. Call for your appointment, my friends, 727-733-3773. You'll get a great haircut at a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every morning preceding our show, and actually Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on Tan Talk. Paul and Tracy Allen, they are such a delight. Always fun to listen to them. They got so much to talk about. Let them start off your day. Good morning, Clearwater. Okay, well, so I wake up this morning and apparently things are so desperate that the CIA director is meeting with one of the guys that came out of the prison in Guantanamo. He is now a Taliban leader. His name is Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, I think it is. The rendezvous was the highest level in-person meeting between the Biden administration and the Taliban since the Taliban took over. They don't want to talk too much about, I guess, this deal. You know what he went over there to do. Now, look, we'll leave you alone if you leave us alone and allow us to get our people out of there. That's kind of what it's all about, right? France, the United Kingdom, Germany, they all want the exit date extended from August 31st in order to carry out, get everybody out of there. And here's France's foreign minister. We're concerned about the deadline of August 31st. Additional time is needed. And here's the, in Great Britain, the British position is we want to stay longer if it's possible. That's the UK defense secretary talking. Now the Pentagon says that it will consider leaving American troops in Afghanistan past the end of this month, but dismissed the idea of going back and taking that Bagram airfield where we could probably get a lot more people out. I don't understand the entire context. Why didn't we try to get our people out of Afghanistan before we took our soldiers out of Afghanistan? If the plan was to get out of Afghanistan by a certain date, wouldn't you think that we would have started to evacuate our people and keep the soldiers there so that we would be able to get our people out? That's why I can't understand how the thinking went. Did the Biden administration overrule the military? Did somebody in the Biden administration say, no, we're not going to do that, and we're not going to keep the Bagram airfield?
You know, back in the day,
I don't understand why they would. How did this? I would love to hear the real story on this.
Back in the day, it wouldn't matter. But how far have we fallen that the Taliban is setting deadlines and guidelines for the U.S.? We used to say, I don't care what you think, followed by a rocket. Now we're pleading with them.
We've been emasculated.
Unbelievable.
We've been emasculated. That's what's happened. We've lost our standing. And I'm sure that all of the major countries of the world are wondering what went into this whole thing to make us look so bad. You can argue whether or not we should keep a small force in there. I would submit that we probably could keep a small force in there just to maintain some semblance of safety and order.
I'm not sure we could. I'm not sure we could protect ourselves. You have to remember they have over 40 aircraft now. They have weapons.
Well, you're right.
They have tanks.
Yes, I'm going back and being a Monday morning quarterback before we abandoned everything.
Well, your arm was never that good.
Well, I could throw fairly well if you want to know the truth. Now that you're challenging me, I'd like to see you go out for a pass. You'd have to be a blocker.
I'd do the crawl route.
Okay. So look at Korea. We have maintained a presence in Korea for 70 years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We've had we didn't lose or we didn't win. We ended a conflict and had a truce since in 1953. Okay. The Chinese have not been able to take over South Korea, which was one of the things they wanted to do. We have kept a force there. If we can do that in Korea, why can we not do something on a smaller level in Afghanistan? That's my question. And allow some semblance of calm and, you know what I mean.
But the North Koreans follow one dictator. The Taliban and Afghans, they kind of do their own thing, don't they?
Yeah.
They have several.
No. Oh, yes, of course. It's
not one almighty.
No.
You know.
No, they got Al-Qaeda.
Sure.
You probably have ISIS there. You've got, obviously, the Taliban. They're all, and you could call all three of those groups.
Yeah, there would be
terrorists.
There'd be a lot of invitations to the dinner table.
That's true. It is more helter-skelter there.
Mm.
But all I'm saying is we were able to maintain it's been over a year and a half since any Americans have died in Afghanistan, up until now. Now, I know we made a promise that we were going to leave on a certain date, and maybe the Taliban said, okay, we'll sit back and wait. And that's why there aren't any Americans that have died in a year and a half. But for whatever reason, we were able to maintain that. Again, this is Monday morning quarterbacking, but I think a first grader would have handled it better.
I think that's what you're dealing with right now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't even think he's made first grade. I'm beginning to wonder. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about what China has to gain or to lose from this chaos in Afghanistan when we return with Wai Feng Zong. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. I'm so happy that you are with us and delighted to have back, and I mean really delighted to have back, Weifang Zhang. He's a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And we're going to talk a little bit about what China may have to gain or lose from all of this situation in Afghanistan. Weifang, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Paul. And oh boy, isn't it depressing to talk about what's happening.
Oh, absolutely. But I couldn't think of a better person to talk with about this, because you really seem to understand what is going on there. Weifang runs an index that monitors Chinese propaganda and predicts policy changes based on it. You know, most people probably don't even realize that China borders Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, it has a very short border across the Uyghur region of Xinjiang, the province where there's forced labor, practice of forced labor.
Yeah, with the Uyghur situation there too, right? It's all sort of, and the interesting thing might be that China and Islamic religion, they don't actually correlate very well either. So we've got, you got religion going on, and you got border going on. You've got whatever the word is for China, Chinese colonialism, their desire to annex more land, case in point, Taiwan. Give us an overview, Weifang, of how they are looking at or how they are feeling about this chaos in Afghanistan.
Yeah, so that's there are many aspects of China's consideration with regard to Afghanistan. You mentioned a religious aspect or Islamic terrorism, which is what the Chinese government is accusing some Uyghurs of committing, and saying that they are trying to separate the province into from China. So the Chinese government called them separatists. And for that reason, actually, the Chinese propaganda, this is why monitoring is important, because for years, the Chinese propaganda has been talking about the Taliban in a relatively negative light. And so now when, you know, there's the void in Afghanistan to fill, and if you think about what China has to gain, possibly, the Chinese government actually has to change the talking points before they actually do something about it.
Oh, yeah, it's true. turn 180 degrees all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, so that's why we in recent days have seen some talking points along the line of saying that, you know, the Taliban, they are not that terrible people.
They woke up one day and they became very nice people. Go ahead.
Exactly. So that actually is a hurdle for economic planning that you're referring to, that China prefers in the region, because if in order to mobilize your economic resources in the country to actually, for example, invest in Afghanistan, changing people's mind in terms of how they think about the Taliban is the first step. And even that first step right now is not going like terribly well. And there's also, it's very costly to actually capture the economic interest in Afghanistan, because China already has like two investment projects in the last 15 years or so. One is a coal mine, a copper mine, sorry, and another is the oil project. Neither is making any money precisely because of the lack of the basic order, like you mentioned, or a security, or basic social economic infrastructure. So it's a tall order, in my opinion. Although when we talk about the U.S. actions, there are many things that are frustrating. But it's not, the upside is not that high for the for China, in my opinion.
Okay, so when China watches what is going on here, and the United States looking so incompetent and emasculated before the rest of the world, are they getting a satisfaction out of this for future endeavors or whatever? Like, do they feel that now that you know, that we got a guy like Biden that maybe will not act more as aggressively, perhaps, as say somebody like Donald Trump, that maybe they can make a consideration for moving in on Taiwan a little bit quicker or something like that?
I think we have seen some political point scoring on that front lately. But that's really just serving the domestic audience, saying that, oh, look at how chaotic it is with the Americans, and we are better. So that's what the Chinese government is trying to say to its people. But if you really to like I said, to capture the economic interest, it's not that straightforward, not only because of the cost that I mentioned potentially could be very high, but also, if you think about the upside, many have mentioned the economic, the natural resources in Afghanistan, particularly minerals and including a lot of rare earth elements and lithium, which is very important for making batteries for a lot of our technologies these days. And so the conjecture was that, yeah, because Afghanistan has all these unmined resources, China might actually go in, and that would solidify China's monopoly in all these natural resources sector. But if you think about, for example, lithium, it's not that the U.S. doesn't have lithium reserves. We do. But the reason that they are not mined was because traditionally doing that actually would damage the environment a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So that's why, for environmental reasons, the U.S. is not doing it as much. But there are very promising recent technological developments, including what's happening at the Salton Sea in California, where some companies actually are working on extracting lithium from the briny water there. And that doing that actually doesn't damage the environment a lot. And the technology seems to be able to produce 40% of the global demand of lithium. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, what's happening, all these promising developments in the U.S., the upside for China to actually take the or capture the natural resources in Afghanistan is not that promising.
I see. Yeah, because we always have heard, you know, that Afghanistan has all of this, these untapped minerals and stones and metals and, you know, those kinds of things. And I guess you don't think too much of, I mean, most people think of it, my visualization of Afghanistan is like just nothing but rocky terrain, you know. But yet that's exactly the kind of thing that has precious metals and stuff like that inside of it. But so what is to, is there any downside for the Chinese with this turmoil in Afghanistan?
So downside, going back to the Uyghur issue, I think the Chinese government would like to see stability in the region overall, generally speaking, because Afghanistan is sort of in the way of China's Belt and Road Initiative, and it's next to Pakistan, where China has a lot of Belt and Road Initiative investments. And so if the region overall is destabilized, it actually would hurt the Chinese economic plan. And not to mention that if Afghanistan became a place where, you know, separatist forces could get support, for example, to make the Uyghur region of Xinjiang in China also destabilized, I think that also would be very costly for China. So there's no question that China would like to see a stable the region being stabilized, which is why just yesterday, I think the Chinese government officials came out and said that they would like to see reconstruction after the war, and they would like to give aid to Afghanistan to help them. And I think that's the first step, actually. That was, that money is not going toward any minerals, for sure, but that's primarily just trying to stabilize the region so that it doesn't give trouble to China, which is, I think, an overlooked concern from like us looking from the outside.
Yes. We're talking with Weifeng Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center, and they run an index that monitors what's going on with Chinese propaganda, and you know, where China may be going. You know, it's always the inscrutable Chinese. I guess you could say that, Weifeng. We never really know. You know, I was watching a biography of Mao Zedong on I think it's the American Heroes Network or one of those last night. And, you know, to go back and look at how China came to become what it has become now. And, of course, we've gone through three or four leaders since Mao Zedong, but they still have wonderful pictures of him, do they not, in China? But have they not rejected a lot of his philosophy?
So I think economically, that what you said is true, that the economic model China has now is very different from the economic model under Mao, which is central planning and markets were considered evil. But politically, I don't see much difference. So you can think of Chinese leaders subsequently. They're basically some version of Mao with a suit and tie on.
Yeah.
And so politically...
With a business valise.
The politically, so that the emphasis on central control, political control is still there. Okay. And which is why I think you mentioned the policy change index that we do here, monitoring Chinese propaganda. That's very important because the model of changing people's minds before you could change policies or changing people's actions, it's actually the exact same propaganda model coming from Mao's era. And so before the Chinese government makes new policies, for example, encouraging people to invest in a place like Afghanistan, they will have to mobilize public opinion first and tell them, you know, the Taliban actually are good people. So which is why monitoring what the Chinese government is saying in propaganda machines is very indicative.
Yeah. Let me just, in closing, let me ask you about where do you think, based on your knowledge, where do you think Taiwan is going to, are they any closer to trying to overtake or take over Taiwan, or they're backing off that a little bit? What is your sense about the Taiwanese situation?
Interesting you ask that, Paul, because using the index just a year ago, we actually picked up some unusual newfound emphasis on China's military power in China's official newspapers. This is something that we had not seen before, which indicates that the fact that the Chinese were last year talking up their military power suggests that there might be some military actions that would follow. Now, we don't know whether it would be Taiwan. The Chinese government is not going to tell people in advance they're going to take over Taiwan. But we could see that Taiwan, of course, is a possible candidate for where the cinema could be, but it could also be the border between China and India. Mm-hmm. And so with what's going on now in Afghanistan, I think it's very important for U.S. policymakers to demonstrate the commitment foreign policy commitment, especially in with regard to Taiwan, because at least some people are already doubting the U.S. commitment to Taiwan.
Oh, yeah.
And having the doubt in itself is already putting Taiwan in possibly in jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we have an abandonment policy that's been going on, you know, not just with Joe Biden, but over the last several, maybe a few presidents. We're slowly letting our grip go. Now, you know, inevitably, that's, we were saying before you came on about, you know, about Korea. And, but we've been sort of releasing our grip on a lot of things, you know. I don't know. It's, I guess eventually all things change, right?
I think, yeah, I have the same impression as you do. I think for decades now, the U.S., not only policymakers, but also the American people, in general, are having less and less interest in this kind of nation building or involvement in foreign nations and how they would want to, or they should run their own business or run their own polities. And I think that, in some sense, that's understandable because it's nation building really hasn't really worked for the U.S. anyway. And so, after seeing so many failures in the past, including in Afghanistan, obviously, right after the U.S. Troops left, the Afghan forces just didn't have the will to fight, and not even though they have all the weapons the U.S. gave them. And so, I understand the sentiment of not doing nation building overseas. And I can see that that's also widely supported by the American people as well.
You're right. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Weifeng. Thank you so very much for your input on this.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. And we'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you.
All right. Weifeng Zhang, let us take our break. We will not abandon this Afghanistan discussion when we come back. We'll talk a little bit about it. About the CIA director going over there, meeting with the Taliban leader, with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. I'd love to be able to whistle that good. You know, you could make a living. Oh, my gosh. By the way, Freedom Works, we are here Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. I hope you listen. But if you're not able to, you can go to our website. Big Ed has all our shows on podcast. Bless him. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button and enjoy our programming. All right. So we've got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, and Andrew, I don't know. We could talk about a whole bunch of things. Do you feel like talking a little bit about what's going on with the CIA director? Sneaking over to I can just see these two.
The CIA left there 7 weeks ago.
I know.
They pulled all the CIA. Isn't it wonderful? They knew what was going on, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
They knew what was going on. This whole diabolical thing is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, before we go any further, how is Nicole doing?
You know, Paul, she seems a little stronger every day.
Oh, good.
Right now I'm at the point when I hear all this. Mask, the kids. Look at, I got a wife in the hospital with COVID pneumonia. I'm not sitting there panicking, mask. First of all, it has a 1% death rate, Paul.
Yeah.
1%, no matter what. And I know people that are pulling it off. I know my wife will pull it off.
Oh, I'm sure, but...
Okay? There's big panic that's going on. These people, you got to mask the kids. Oh, Governor DeSantis, he don't know what he's doing. Let me tell you something. Instead of pushing shots that we don't know how good they work to begin with, Pfizer got approved by the Food and Drug Administration, the first one. You know why?
Why?
Pfizer's in bed with the government. They've been in bed with the federal government for years. Okay? Mm-hmm. They held back when they had the vaccination. Supposedly, they didn't let it go till 2 days after the election. Remember?
I'm wondering why Moderna and Johnson & Johnson didn't get approval at the same time.
That's because Pfizer's in bed with them.
So Pfizer's more politically connected. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
No question about it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, here you got the governor setting up in the state of Florida all these Regeneron spots, okay? Regeneron works. You get the infusion, and in 24 hours, it's gone.
Now, let me ask you this. Has Nicole taken it?
No, she couldn't take it, Paul, because you've got to get it in the early stages.
Okay.
In other words, if you get the sniffles, you get the signs of a cold, you go get this Regeneron. It's free. They're giving it to you.
Now, can you just go to a pharmacy? And
I don't know. All I know is he is setting up sites all over the state of Florida. I know we have one coming in Pinellas County. He's setting these all up. The minute you get a symptom, you go get it. It's free of charge.
Yeah.
Okay, and you will be cured in 24 hours.
Okay, so Governor DeSantis is authorizing these drop-off these points where you can go from
across the... Right, just like they set up to get your vaccinations, he's setting these up.
Okay. I haven't read anything about it. That's why I'm asking.
It's all over the place, Paul. It's been on the news.
Okay.
Even on the local news. But
all right,
you got
fair enough.
People... Oh, the parents, we want masks. Listen, these kids don't need to suffer in a school with a mask. The kids are going to get it. They're going to get sick. Let me tell you something. I want to know how many kids right now, the first week of school, would have been sick without this stuff going
on.
No,
that's a good...
the same thing, Paul.
Yeah, that's a good
they
question.
They go to school. They pick their nose. They wipe their fingers all over the place. They all get sick.
Yeah.
Those germ bombs.
What do you think about if Governor DeSantis had said, look, I am going to allow the school board districts in the state of Florida to make their own decision on whether or not to mandate masks and kind of leave it at that rather than making a decree, as he did, that it will be only the parents that will decide.
I think he's right, Paul. The school board, let me tell you something. The school board are such little wussy people that if you sneeze 1 minute, we're going to shut everything down. You're going to be masked. I think they're ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of people there that have no backbone. They're too educated for any common sense whatsoever. They have no clue, Paul. I say let the kids do it. Let them go through getting their cold or whatever because they're going to get it. Even with the masks on, they're going to get sinus infections and everything else and sit there being trapped all day. They're going to learn nothing.
But you wouldn't argue against allowing the parent to mask their children, right?
No, if a parent wants to mask their kid, let them. It's okay. Their choice.
Yeah.
The kid's only going to pull it down anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
I got news for him.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. I'm trying to think back so long ago. When I was in grade school, how long I would keep a mask on. I would go outside during recess and rip the damn thing off. And then have my fun and, you know, get back in line and go back in, then put my mask on.
Yeah, Paul, like I say, He's doing the right thing.
Okay.
You get the symptoms, go get this. It's all over the state right now.
I want to turn to your favorite president, Joe Biden, and how they're covering for him. I think the guy, Peter Ducey from Fox News, asked the Jen Psaki, you know, their press secretary about he used the word stranded in Afghanistan. She took offense to the word stranded. And I'm thinking,
right.
Well, what are they? They're trying to get out of there and they can't. They're stranded.
Well, that chick's got no brain.
Well, it's true.
Okay, she's got no brain.
So she fits in. She fits in with the whole...
She tells you, she's the Democrat Party, Paul.
Yeah.
If they had brains, they'd be dangerous.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, I don't say, I know I'm right, Paul.
They couldn't have engineered a worse scenario than they have. It's just absolutely mind-boggling.
You ought to destroy something, let a Democrat handle it.
Yeah. Well, that could
be. Paul, it is a 1% death rate. People are going to get sick. This is how we're going to build an immunity to this thing. You're going to get sick. You're not going to die.
We're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
I mean, let's face it. Mm-hmm. Cancer is gone. The flu is gone. Heart attack is gone. 1,000 people died of COVID. How many people die a day, Paul? I want to know.
Yeah.
You don't hear that, do you?
Well, I know a lot more people die from heart attacks and the like than they do from the COVID, that's for sure.
That's right. There's no question about it, Paul. Again, it is a 1%. What don't people understand about that?
Right, right.
I'm not sitting here panicking. Believe me, my wife has got it. Granted, it doesn't make me happy or anything else, but I'm not going to sit here and panic about it.
Right.
She's going to pull it off.
Now, you went ahead.
The thing is, if she doesn't, the Lord wanted her for something.
Oh, my goodness. Let's not even think about it that way.
Well, you know, Paul, there's things that I do think about when you're going through this.
I know.
Okay, so. Well,
are you able to go in and sit down at the bed?
No, I haven't seen her since she's been in the hospital.
So they've got her quarantined.
Yeah, I talk to her 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I talk with the nurses and doctors to find out what's going on.
I see.
And I have a friend in there that is a specialist that goes and checks on her for me and lets me know what's happening.
Oh, that's good. But you feel she's getting a little better, right?
Yes, she's getting a little better. She's going to be weak for a while, Paul.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, your barbershop is reopened, is that correct?
Yes, we're open today.
Okay, excellent.
And everybody is negative.
Yes, that's good.
Now you're Democrats, too. We're very negative against the Democrats.
I know you are. So if a person were to come in, you give them that quick temperature test, right?
That's it.
Okay, excellent. Now, I want to ask you a little bit. I don't know, do you follow any of this infrastructure bill and the reconciliation package, or does that kind of bore you? Do you think... It doesn't look like any of that stuff's going to pass. Maybe because of the way that they've handled the Afghanistan situation, it's emboldened Republicans a little bit. What do you think?
I think the way they're handling the Afghanistan situation is pissing off some of the Democrats, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, they didn't even handle the situation. They just let it happen.
Right.
They didn't handle nothing.
I think you're right.
You know, you're talking with a guy, how's this Afghan situation going to benefit China? The only thing he forgot to tell you was they got all our weapons now at wholesale prices.
Yeah, they certainly did.
Okay.
Five-finger discounts.
China. Number one, I think the American people should be very upset with China and do everything they can not to buy anything from China, because it's the American people that are going to have to hurt China because our government isn't going to do nothing about it. And that's where this came from. This came from China, and it came from our own deep state, Paul.
Yeah, we're talking about the virus. Okay, right.
That's right, because they didn't want Trump. Trump was hurting all their little games they're playing. That's it. They put the American people on the line, and the American people are stupid that they don't see it.
Okay, now
they're revolting against the government right now.
Are you saying that the Chinese intentionally released that virus?
Of course they did.
Okay.
Of course they did, Paul. Their economy was getting hurt. Trump was charging them billions of dollars just in tariffs to bring their stuff into this country. Mm-hmm. They wanted him gone. They wanted this moron in there. They're the ones that put the money up to back him. Them and the deep state, Paul.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, there is a Chinese connection with his pocketbook and his son.
There's no question about it, Paul. You got George Soros and a bunch of these billionaires that think they can rule the world. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? The world is going to get smart, and they are getting smarter, believe me. Mm-hmm. Look at how all our allies are turning against us. The UK called Biden totally incompetent, an imbecile.
Are you optimistic about where we're going to end up, ultimately?
No, Paul. Right now, I see the American people caving. I think the American people are very weak, and most of them are a disgrace.
Do you think Trump's going to run again?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Actually, I wish Trump was there right now. If there was a way we could get rid of this whole Democrat Party right now, yeah, they could see changes in this country. Like I told you, Paul.
This might embolden him, you know. It might embolden him to run again.
Well, one thing I got to say, and I'm going to keep saying it, I want to know one more American president's name that bowed down on his hands and knees and begged the enemy to please don't burn down our embassy, or begging the OPEC, we need more oil, on his hands and knees when he shut down the pipeline, put these people out of work, okay? Need I say more? This guy, an American president, is a disgrace.
Yeah.
On his hands and knees begging.
Yeah.
Give me a name of another one that has done it.
Yeah, and even the mainstream media seems to not be covering as much for him anymore. Although maybe it's just the Afghanistan situation, but I think they've They realize that they're not fooling anybody by trying to cover for him anymore.
Look, all Biden knows how to say is, get the shot. You need to get the shot. I'd like to give him a shot and you know what.
I hear you. I hear you. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Always a pleasure. Keep up your fighting spirit and our love to Nicole.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right, my friend. All right, there he goes. We'll talk with him Friday again. The Master Barber. Okay, Ed, let's take our break. When we come back, a Virginia school district rejecting the state's new transgender bathroom policy. We're going to talk about it.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, this transgender bathroom thing, I mean, first of all, you would think that it should not even be in the forefront of anybody's mind. We got this whole thing with masks and the virus and getting kids back to school, and we... You know, getting things back on course with education. A public school district, though, in Virginia, is rejecting implementing their state's policy that addresses the treatment of transgender and non-binary students. Here is what the Chesapeake School Board says. We have received input from many people this evening, and we have had the opportunity to discuss among ourselves, and we've determined we will not take any action at all in the proposed transgender policies at this time, which means it is not in effect. In other words, they're going to ignore it. The guidance from the Virginia Department of Education, I just would imagine what kind of people scurrying around in the Virginia Department of Education. It allows non-binary, by the way, what's non-binary? I've always kind of wondered, you know, Ed, if you're non-binary, does that mean you picture yourself as neither male nor female? That's what it sounds like, a non-binary, non-binding, you know? Anyway, the guidance from the Virginia Department of Education allows non-binary and transgenders to use bathrooms and play on sports teams that correspond with their chosen identity. I would like to be a cheerleader. If I could go back, I would declare myself a non-binary and get on the cheerleading squad. Let's see here. Anyway, their chosen identity, not birth gender. So what a mess that's going
to
be.
Non-binary, not relating to, right. Composing of.
Okay, not relating to.
Or involving just two things.
I just don't think, it's like non-binding in this case.
Right.
I choose not to be either male nor female. I am now...
Well, that's the opposite. They're not choosing to be just male or female.
Yeah, I mean, they're just not choosing anything.
Right.
Which means that you can go into whichever bathroom you want. You can play on any sports team. You can shower with anybody you want. I guess it's you could call it real freedom. I don't know, but it's kind of weird. So that's what the Virginia Department of Education is saying. Well, this little Chesapeake school board says, no, I think not. And let's see here. Parents were there talking in front of the board last night. One of them said, when my children are at school, they are students, not the school's children. My authority does not end in the parking lot. Let's see. The board member, in support of the guidance from Virginia's board, lamented that she thinks the school board, the Chesapeake School Board, has let transgenders and non-binaries down. Well, tough. That's about 1% of the, that's not even 1% of the student population.
You think we'd have bigger things to worry about.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So much for that. So much for that. Did you know, Ed, let me ask you something, and you don't have to tell me that if you don't want to. Did you have to pay any income tax for 2020? Do you recall when all was
said? No.
Okay. Did you know that most people did not pay income tax for 2020?
Probably not.
Yeah. The Tax Policy Center says that last year, 61% of households owed no income tax.
Because they weren't working.
Yeah, partially. But I was thinking 61% did not pay tax? So 39% did. So the 39% are funding everybody.
Yeah. That couldn't fund lunch, for crying out loud.
Yeah. It says here that spike likely to be temporary, but says here in recent pre-pandemic years, percentage of tax returns with no income tax due has been around 44%. So we've gone up a little bit during the pandemic.
Mm.
Found that interesting. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, is there any news on the local team's sports front, either with baseball or football or Lightning, hockey ball, anything?
Well, no, Lightning, of course, they're in the offseason. The Rays are back in action tonight. They'll be in Philly for two games.
And they're still in first place.
And then they'll go beat up again on the Baltimore Orioles for three games.
Yeah, the poor Baltimore.
Yeah.
What's gone wrong with Baltimore?
It's like a fighter that doesn't even fight back.
My goodness.
And then, of course, the Bucks are going to be on the road to Houston. And according to our head coach, the starters may play as much as a half.
Oh, that's interesting.
And this will be the third.
We'll see Tom Brady out there for maybe the full, for a half of a.
I don't know if we'll see Tom out there for a full half, but probably at least a quarter. So this will be the one to watch. And, of course, then the Thursday night game starts after that, you know.
Wow, so we're getting there, aren't
so,
we?
So, yeah, we're our first real season game is just over 2 weeks away.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you think we've got a good shot at being one of the few teams that could win a second straight Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course, you got to be in that mix. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have to be in that mix.
We have no significant changes in our roster, or have we got
No.
Okay.
And remember, we brought all 22 starters back.
Oh.
There are very few holes to fill.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ed, it's time for our top 10. I think this is a pretty good one. It comes from onekindplanet.org. Or is it one kind of planet? Anyway, onekindplanet.org. And this includes both land, sea, and air, okay? For fast. So here we go, number 10. And speaking of fast, you got to be faster on the drums, all right?
Obviously, I'm not on the list.
Number 10 is the brown hare. The brown hare with long back legs enables it to reach speeds of 48 miles per hour. By the way, it's the same speed as the predator that likes to go after them, the red fox. Okay, number 9. The blue wildebeest. You remember the good old blue wildebeest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The blue wildebeest can run, believe it or not, I wouldn't think so, a wildebeest, they can go 50 miles an hour. I mean, that's a big animal running 50 miles an hour. Number 8. We're going to the water, the marlin. You know how marlins are a big fish to be a sports fish, right?
Yeah.
Marlins can swim at 50 miles an hour.
Hmm.
There's one other fish that's faster. We'll talk about it later. Number seven, the pronghorn antelope. The pronghorn antelope is the second fastest land animal. They can go 60 miles an hour. Wow! 60 miles an hour. Can you imagine going down the...
driving your car and looking out the side and being in
it. Keeping up with
just
you.
Just keeping up, saying, how you doing?
Okay. Number six, the sailfish. The world's fastest fish, the sailfish. They can go 68 miles an hour through the water.
Mm.
Wow, how do they do it? Number five, and you knew this would be on the list, the cheetah.
Mm.
Okay, the cheetah can, there's nothing on land that probably can run as fast. They can reach a top speed of 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
70 miles an hour. Can you imagine having to run away from a cheetah?
No.
Okay. By the way, that's three times faster than the top running speed for a human being. Number four, the spur-winged goose. Good old spur-winged goose. World's largest goose, by the way. They can fly 88 miles an hour.
Wow.
Once they get going, that's you don't want to get in their way up
there. That's a big bird, isn't it?
It's huge. Yeah. It's the world's largest goose.
And those are the ones that fly into planes, isn't it? Sometimes you know,
I would hate to see that.
The geese?
Yeah, that might be right. Number three, the frigate bird. I've never heard of it, but the frigate bird speed of 95 miles an hour is helped by having the largest wingspan to body weight of any bird in the world.
That's frigate fast.
They are able to stay aloft, by the way, for more than a week. Can you imagine?
They what?
They can stay in the air for more than a week.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Plus a lot of gliding because of those big wings.
For a week.
I mean, if you think about a glider, right?
Yeah.
A glider can go a long time because it's got a big wingspan.
They don't, what are they, sleeping in the air?
I guess. Take a little nap in between.
Number two. The white-throated needletail. The white-throated needletail, also known as the spine-tailed swift, it's a bird. Fastest bird in flight, top speed, 106 miles an hour. That would be like a blur. A blur going by. All right, Ed, we're down to the end. What do you think? Any idea?
I have no idea.
You want to guess either land, air, or water?
I'd say it's got to be in the air.
You are right.
Yeah, because it'd be too much resistance in the
water. Peregrine falcon. The peregrine falcon, fastest animal in the world. When it's hunting on dive, it soars to a great height, dives steeply at speeds of 200 miles an hour.
Ooh.
200 miles an hour. It reaches horizontal cruising speed of up to 56 miles.
I was
going to
say, on a dive, it's got to be really fast.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I've been in a lot of dives, but not that fast. Stay tuned, by the way, for Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Z right after the news. Freedom Works. We are back on Friday. Bye.